We began a series in April. We've entitled God is on the Move. Our third lesson in this series focuses on how God has been on the move and is still on the move to bring about salvation. Some of what I'm going to share with you today, many of you will say, well, yeah, I knew that. Some of it, however, may stretch your imagination a little bit, may even tend to boggle the mind a bit if we try to wrap our minds around it. For instance, did you know that the Spirit of God moved over the deep not only in creation, but long before that, He was already on the move in regard to our salvation? Even before creating the universe. Listen carefully to the following passages from Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says that God chose us in Christ, now listen, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. Think about that a moment. Remember the Spirit of God hovering over the deep before He even began creating. It was in His mind. It was in His plan. He was moving in ways that we cannot understand and completely fathom to choose us. To choose us personally in Christ to be holy and blameless. Even before creation. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. He says, God has saved us, called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. Now listen again. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. We'll read in Genesis, there was evening and morning the first day. Before that, before the very first measure of time, God had a purpose and a plan for you. He wanted to bestow grace upon you in Christ Jesus. Before even time began, it says. Wow. Now here the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:20, who tells us that Christ was chosen to be our redemption before the creation of the world. Before God created Adam from the dust of the earth and Eve from his side, He knew that His creation would need redeemed. His creation would not be perfect. His creation, no matter how hard they tried, would fall short of the glory and purpose that He had for them. So He purposed a plan, even before creating the world, to redeem them, to purchase them back as His people. And finally, speaking of Jesus, John the Apostle says in Revelation 13, verse 8, that the Lamb was slain from the creation of the world. Not only did He plan to redeem us in Christ, He planned to pay for us to be redeemed, even before creation itself. That the perfect, sinless Lamb of God would be slain for our sins, that His blood would be shed for our sins. Even before you were born, before you were thought of, God had you in His heart and His mind. Wow. See, again, boggles the mind for me to think about that. That even before the beginning of time, God was on the move to save us from ourselves, but also to save us for Himself. We'll talk more about that in a minute. As I said, this may be hard to fathom again, but allow this simple illustration. My wife, Nina, and I planned to have children before she conceived. We did. When we were dating, when we were engaged, we began talking about children, how many children we would like to have, planning and purposing for that. We loved one another, and we knew that out of the product of our love, we would want to have children. We would have plenty of love left over to love children and to nurture children. We had hearts for kids, and we wanted to have children. We were naive, but not stupid. We knew it was going to be a big responsibility. There would be pain and sacrifice, first and foremost on Nina's part, but mine too. There would be times when our children, as beautiful and perfect as they would seem when they were born, that they would not be perfect. that they would not always make the right choices, that they would sometimes even grieve our hearts with their choices. But still, we planned to have them anyway, purpose to love them and care for them. When it was first apparent that Nina was expecting, we rejoiced. We celebrated. We waited just a little while and we announced it to parents and to friends and church family and had them praying. We were excited. We also began to make other preparations in the months that followed. We moved from a one-bedroom efficiency apartment to a very modest two-bedroom bungalow. At first, because the house was small and the accommodations weren't necessarily perfect and the minds of a lot of people, what they think they have to have before they have a child, we set up a nursery area in our bedroom with a changing table, a bassinet, and a little dresser. That was about it. We bought unisex baby clothes from garage sales at the beginning. Because, you know, back then, we didn't know the gender of our unborn baby. We didn't know. Later, we were blessed by family and church family who held showers, baby showers for Nina. And I, though the guys are often excluded from it, it was for me too. I was going to benefit, absolutely. And there were gifts and things purchased specifically for the baby. I was an insurance salesman at the time, and I went ahead and added an insurance rider to my policy called a JEP, a juvenile estate protector, to make provision for our child's education. See, we knew that if we were going to have a child, we were going to have children, there were some preparations to make. There were things that we wanted for our child. There are things that we wanted to bless our child with. So we began to make preparations. You understand that? So should we be that surprised that before man was conceived, our Father in heaven began to make preparations for everything that his children would need, and most importantly, for their spiritual need. The earliest revelation, perhaps, though, to man about God's plan might be found in Genesis chapter 3. After the first couple, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God, you know, they ate of that forbidden fruit, tempted by Satan to do that. The Lord confronted them and then confronted Satan. And he announced to Satan, I'm going to put enmity or cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So God's saying even then that he would be on the move to bring someone into the picture through the descendancy of Eve to do battle with this evil one. And though wounded, would become a champion who would rise victorious. Earlier on in verse 7, Adam and Eve had used leaves to kind of cover themselves. But God made it clear that man's attempts to cover our sin will never be adequate. Right then and there, God moved to do something. God moved to replace their vegan clothing with garments of skin. That's a clear indication that blood needed to be shed. Sin results in separation and death, and it always will require sacrifice. But I want you to think about it a minute. Notice, it was God who first moved to shed innocent blood to redeem them. God made the first sacrifice, and he would make the final sacrifice too, once and for all. That really matters for the sins of mankind. See, covering their sins was far more important to God than covering their bodies. I think it would be good if we as parents and grandparents and caregivers for children would recognize that principle too. It's far more important for us to take care of children's spiritual needs even than their physical ones. Far more important. So God was on the move in the beginning and even before to save his people. And then he would move throughout history to save them every time they strayed. Every time they need saved from themselves, God would be there. And they strayed a lot. In our study on Sunday nights, we began last week, we've seen how the people of God would be caught in this cycle of disobedience, which would always lead to disaster, and then they would call out to God and he would deliver them time and time and time again. And in time, he would begin to work with them to try to once again educate them and teach them more completely and fully. And he would even provide for them a king leader in David, who would be a king who would be after God's own heart and would set an example for them to do the same. And in the process of all that, he would begin to hold out this promise of the greatest deliverer of all, the Messiah King, who would come and save them forever, not just once, but once for all. In Luke 1, 26 through 38, we can read about when the time was just right, the Bible tells us, that an angel appeared to a young maiden named Mary and said, listen carefully, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Remember again, I keep referring to this, the Spirit of God hovering over, moving over the deep before creation is now hovering over Mary, moving over her to create within her new life, a unique life, God's only begotten Son. The same angel told her she was to name him Jesus. Why Jesus? The name means Savior. Luke 3, 22-23 tells us that it was about 30 years later that the Spirit of God moved again as he descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, identifying him at his baptism as the one who would be the Savior of the world. God on the move. I would imagine that most of you here have heard how Jesus would accomplish this, how he would save us. As we sang a little bit earlier, though, that old story, not everyone's heard it. And those who have and understand it, appreciate that story, delight in hearing it again and again and again. Because it's the story of Jesus and his love. Jesus lived a sinless life, but was crucified on a cruel cross for our crimes. You can read about it in Luke 23, how he suffered and died. And when God's perfect Son would breathe his last hanging from that cross, he would be laid in a cold, dark grave. And I imagine it would appear to everyone around that God was no longer moving. They believed God had been moving in salvation, but at that point in time, they would have thought, God is not moving now. If that was God, he's dead. But you've heard that mantra, perhaps particularly back in the 60s, it was popularized. People say, God is dead. God is dead because we don't see him what? On the move. We don't see him moving. We don't see any evidence of him being who he says he is and moving in our world. And back then, at Golgotha, on Calvary's Hill, I imagine many thought, God's not moving now. Even Jesus, before he breathed the last, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He must have felt at least that God wasn't moving in that moment, in that instant. But he was. Matter of fact, it was the very movement of God that brought this about to fulfill what he had purposed even before the creation of the world. And though people would have thought that Satan had struck that blow, that final blow, it would be proven that it was no more than a wound to his heel. For 3 days later, the Spirit of God moved again. And Luke 24 tells us, the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and then out came the victorious Lord. Jesus conquered the grave. surprised everybody but God the Father, for he knew before the foundation of the world that his Son would die and rise again. Hallelujah. Demonstrated once and for all, our God is mighty to save. And he's mightily moving yet today to save all of those who will accept his Son as their Savior. God is on the move today. Whenever someone comes broken and wounded, confessing their personal sin, acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God, who died for them to save them from their sins. And it's an amazing thing. Think about it again. An amazing thing. The blood of Jesus, shed 2,000 years ago, has the power to cleanse the worst of sinners yet today. God's mighty to save. God is ready, willing, and able to move hearts of people to come out of the darkness into the light. God is on the move when anyone submits to the Lord's command to be united with him in baptism, rising then to live a new life, free from the fear of death and the control of their own weaknesses. And again, what an awesome thing, because we're told that our baptisms, that we see the gift of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. God on the move? The Spirit of God moving in, taking residence within the heart of believers, assuring them of God's love, leading them and strengthening them in their daily lives to have victory, to be more than conquerors. God on the move. And God is on the move when anyone reaches out in Jesus' name to show love and compassion for others. Again, what an incredible thing that God is willing to move and to use us as his instruments to help others who are hurting or distressed. Whenever we are moved to be his hands to tenderly see to the needs of others. I mentioned earlier, God saves us from ourselves, but also saves us for himself. Saves us to be servants in his kingdom. Saves us to be his hands, his feet in this world. Saves us to demonstrate the movement of God within us and through us. Several years ago, my siblings, because they were living in the area, my dad passed away, began to gather some of the things that Dad had left behind. Particularly things in the garage and then his kind of little stash of things that he kept and were dear to him. And they sorted through things and were trying to decide what to keep, what to give away, what to throw away. And they put some things in the box for me to look through, see if I might have any desire, if I wanted them. One of the things that was in the box was this. It's a cassette tape. Kids, that's a cassette tape. If you ever hear about a cassette tape, that's a cassette tape, okay? That's what a cassette tape looks like. Yes, and they actually do have things that will play these, okay? Which is going to lead me to my next point. I was pleased to get it because it's my dad singing and playing guitar, and there's some hymns that he sings on it. There's a couple songs he wrote, one particularly to my mom. He sings a song, it begins, to my wife, Vivian. And you know, I wanted that. I rescued that from going to the rubbish bin, okay? Rescued that from the dump. And I'll tell you, primarily I was moved to do that out of sentimental reasons. I wanted it, and I've listened to it a couple of times. Just a couple of times, and other than that, it's been on my shelf. But I was moved yesterday. That doesn't belong on the shelf. I'm going to turn it into an MP3. You know what that is, right, kids? For a little while longer. You know? But turn it into an MP3. Maybe even burn some CDs. I think some of those are still around. And distribute it to my siblings. And to maybe my nieces and nephews. I know my own kids would cherish a copy. because I didn't save it from the pit to rest on a shelf. You haven't been saved from the pit to rest on a shelf either. God wants to use you to share his love with the world. He wants to change you and transform you to do that even more effectively. We'll talk more about that next week. But he does want to use you. He didn't choose you not to use you. Not to abuse you, but to use you. In his service to spread the good news of love. Only Jesus' blood saves. Only God is mighty to save, but he wants to use us to declare that good news, to invite people into that relationship with him, to take advantage of his salvation. He's on the move. I've been saved from hell for heaven. I've been saved from torment for paradise. I've been saved from an eternity apart from God to live forever with him. I've been saved from a darkness and a void to come into light and love and kindness and compassion to a kingdom filled with glory and goodness. I've been saved for that. I've been saved from a meaningless life to a purposeful one. I've been saved to be a blessing. And if you're saved, you have been too. As God intended from the very beginning and even before the beginning of time itself. He's had a plan and a purpose for you. I'm a bit of a science fiction fan. I've long been kind of fascinated by the concept of telekinesis. Anybody ever hear what telekinesis? The idea of somehow being able to move an inanimate object just with your thoughts, with your mind. And God can do that. God can just speak and something change and be transformed and be moved. God can cause waters to part. We sang about that earlier. He's done that throughout history. But you know, when it comes to his people, I thought of the word spirit kinesis. You're not an inanimate object. You are a living, saved creature of God's. And he wants to move you with his word, with his truth, with the knowledge of his love and what he did for you to save you forever. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your love and grace and mercy. I want to thank you for the way that you have saved us from our sins. I want to thank you for the price that you paid, for the length that you went to get that done. For God, having purposed long before we ever came into existence to do that. We praise you. We are in awe of you. We owe all to you. Thank you. God, if there's anyone here today who's just now hearing maybe of that old story, I pray that they will be moved by God's love. I pray that they will be moved at least to maybe ask more about it, to come closer, to hear more about how much they are loved and what purpose God has for them. But Father, for us who have heard that story over and over and over again, I pray that we never grow tired of hearing it. And we rejoice and we tell others about the salvation we have and they can have too in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.